we got all night to get it right. Oh, baby, don't you walk out on me. Just take my hand, make me understand. Cause, darling, it's your love that I need. Cause I can't make it through one lonely night without you. Could never replace. So baby, won't you show me how you feel? Just take my hand, make me understand. Cause we don't need to lose the love that's real.
And that was Kevin Skinner, Like It's the Last Goodbye. I want to thank Kevin. Kevin Skinner was the winner of America's Got Talent that was on in 2009. Actually, America's Got Talent is premiering tonight, the brand new season. But thank him so much for coming on. That is his song, Like It's the Last Goodbye. As I mentioned in our last show, we had with Trista Sutter, who was the first bachelorette on The Bachelorette, which also premieres tonight. That Kevin is currently looking for a manager. He went through a very rough time after America's Got Talent. He ended up kind of getting in the hands of a manager that didn't treat him right. And so he is out. He is currently looking. If you would like to contact him, or if you would like to help him out, please send me an email, drew@thedrewshow.com. That's Drew, D-R-E-W, @thedrewshow.com. I'll get you connected with him, and I hope that I hope you can make something happen for him. He's a really, really good guy. Before that, I want to thank our guest, Mr. Lee Greenwood. He is, of course, the singer and writer of God Bless the USA. He has a new book that's already out now called Does God Still Bless the USA? It is a very powerful book. We are so pleased to have him on. Thank you all so much for joining us tonight. Please follow us on Twitter @DrewBTR. That's DrewBTR. as well as please like our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAEJ The Drew Show. Today, we welcome a very special guest to the show, Cricket Carpenter. Cricket's life was changed dramatically in a second when her and her husband Kim were in a nightmarish car accident more than 19 years ago. Cricket's life is based in the best-selling book, The Vow, as well as a hit new movie that just came out, The Vow, that features Channing Tatum and Rachel McAdams. I am so pleased to welcome her to the show today. Hi, Cricket.
Hi there. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule and joining me. I'm sure with the book out and with a movie out now, I'm sure your life, yours and Kim's life, is very hectic.
Yeah, we're crazy. We're busy traveling around, speaking at various conferences and churches and different things. But we still do our normal life here, back in our hometown of Farmington, New Mexico.
Right. So you live in New Mexico. So how is everything there? How does the weather treat you during the summer months coming up?
Well, during the summer, I mean, it's nice. It gets warm, you know, like 80s. But, you know, we might hit 90s every now and again. But in the winter, that's when we're a little bit cold, because we tend to get the snowy weather, although not so much this winter. So it might be a dry summer, but that's okay.
Right. Yeah. Well, Cricket, you faced someone's worst nightmare, not only being in a car accident, but something that almost killed you, and the doctors are surprised. I remember reading something, the doctors were very surprised that you made it. Kim, your husband, suffered a punctured lung, a bruise on his heart, a concussion, and a broken hand, while you suffered a terrible skull fracture and when the roof of the car caved in around your head, and it actually wiped out your memory for the last 18 months. When you were in the hospital and you finally realized what happened, you woke up, the nurse asked you if you knew what year it was, and I believe you said 1969.
I said 65.
Mm-hmm. 65. What was the last thing that you remembered about your life when you woke up?
Well, when I was answering questions first off in the hospital, it was about 3 weeks after the car accident, and they kind of awoke me from my coma, because I was in a very deep coma. And when they started asking me questions, they asked me who my mom was, and I said, Mary, and who's your dad? And they said, Gus. And they said, well, Cricket, who's your husband? And I said, I'm not married. And then when they asked me who my husband was again, they insisted I was married, and I said, Todd, who was an old boyfriend from about 3 years prior.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those are the answers that I gave at that time. And I actually, once I was released from the hospital, I lived back at my home in Phoenix, Arizona, doing outpatient rehab. But that is actually a time frame that I have no memory of. I not only lost about a year and a half prior to the car accident, but I lost about 4 months afterwards. So,
wow.
Because when you're in a coma, you can actually walk and talk. You're just in a different stage of a coma. You're not in the deep coma. So I was actually, responding and answering questions and moving around while I was still charted in a coma. But I don't remember until about 4 months afterwards.
Right. Right. Well, you said you remembered one of your ex-boyfriend, right?
Right.
So was that who the movie was based on? I remember that part in the movie.
Well, on the movie side, they brought my old boyfriend into play in the movie, but in real life, that never happened. The only time my ex-boyfriend was ever mentioned was during the questioning early on in the hospital when I said his name, and that was it. He was never a part after that. The movie is based on true events, but they took a lot of liberties in the movie to change it, to Hollywoodize it and kind of spice it up a little bit.
Right.
That's Hollywood.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot. I have a really good friend. His name is Patrick Dowdy, and he produced and wrote the movie Letters to God about his son that had cancer. And me and him are really good friends, and he told me that they really made that movie Hollywood and all that they took a lot out of the things that he didn't like.
friend.
But, you know, but when you were in the hospital, you know, Kim and your parents went to the chapel of the hospital that day and started praying, and then miraculously, if I said that, miraculously, let's just go with the first way I said it.
You said it right, miraculously.
Right. It was a miracle. Let's say that. The swelling started going down in your brain and everything else, and it you know, the doctors actually were amazed, and it really shows you how powerful prayer in God is. It's amazing.
Oh, definitely. Even the night of the car accident, early on I was given less than a 1% chance to survive, 0.053, and they said if I lived, I'd remain as a vegetable for the rest of my life. And early on in the hospital, before I was transferred to University of New Mexico Medical Center, I was in Gallup, New Mexico. When I was at Gallup, they handed my husband my wedding ring and my watch in the envelope and said, "We're terribly sorry. I mean, she's way beyond medical help." And, you know, at that time, they pretty much rolled me in for my husband to say goodbye to me. And they flew me to UNM Hospital, in which I flatlined twice during flight to UNM. But they shot me up with epinephrine, which is like a last resort drug. And it was enough to get my heart going again and get me on life support once I got to Albuquerque, New Mexico, at the hospital there.
Wow. So the book and the movie The Vow are just simply amazing. But how were you and Kim approached about the book and movie?
Well, we were approached around the same time back in 1996 about the book and the movie. And it was during that time that we signed a movie deal with Caravan at that time. I mean, initially we had signed with Paul Tabliebe, and then with Paul Tabliebe we sold to Caravan. And then Caravan closed down and they went into the hands of Spyglass. And now we're the last Spyglass movie, and it's going to be turned over to MGM because they all kind of, I don't know, someone bought somebody out. So that's how the movie kind of went down. You know, we signed that in 1996, and we did our book deal with Broadman and Holman, a Christian publishing house, in 1996 as well. So they were both separate deals, and we worked on those separate deals. You know, we've worked on them for 16 years. The book, on the other hand, was a little bit quicker process. We had our first book, The Vow, released in the year 2000. And it was under, like, the spiritual category. It had more of my prayer journals, and it was a little bit heavier spiritually, I guess you could say. And when the movie finally came out 16 years later, we rewrote the book and added, you know, what's gone on the past 10 years of our life as well.
Right. Were you at all, and in the book and movie, displayed your personal life and the tragedy that you went through, the pain and suffering mentally and physically? Were you at all skeptical about sharing this part of your life with America?
You know, not so much. I mean, this whole thing, I mean, how it's even entered, you know, in for people to know what's going on is totally the Lord. Because way back in 1996, I prayed one day, "Lord, you know, if you want to do something with our story, I pray that something would happen." And within a couple of days, the phone rang and the agent in Hollywood picked up the story. And it just, I mean, it went boom, 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 like all these amazing things. It's a little wild that we're still talking about it 16 years later, because we didn't think the movie would take 16 years to make. But,
right.
I mean, for me, I believe it's just the Lord's perfect timing, and he wanted it told now. And, you know, it is a Hollywood film, so, you know, we signed with a Hollywood company because there weren't, like, Christian production companies around back in 1996 that did big feature films. So ours is a Hollywood movie, but, you know, it's great, and we're excited. Rachel and Channing did a fabulous job representing us. Although the script has some differences from the true story,
right.
It's been exciting to see people from the world go see this movie and want to know more, and then they go pick up our book and they find out about a more amazing story.
Absolutely. And, you know, and that's what I was going to mention a minute ago. You know, the movie The Vow, it made, in theaters alone, it made $41.7 million. That's absolutely amazing. Can you talk
about... That was our first weekend. That was opening weekend.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's way over 100 million now. And it broke many records, especially for Spyglass. It mm-hmm. broke tons of their records, which was so exciting for us when, you know, the president of Spyglass and the president of Screen Gems is, they're calling us and they're just like flabbergasted, you know, and we're like, well, it's the Lord. And, you know, they're just freaking out because it's breaking all these records. And especially, you know, it won the box office for 8 days straight, which was just huge. And it's exciting that the movie that Rachel and Channing chose to be a part of has even mm-hmm. broken their other records with The Notebook and Dear John. You know, it's exciting.
Yeah, they could not have picked two better actor and actresses for this movie. I love both of them. They're just amazing people.
Oh, yeah, they're darling, and they represented us well.
Yeah, they did. Can you talk about what it has meant to you for the outpouring of love and support that everyone has given you and Kim over the book and movie?
I mean, it's amazing, and it's exciting that, you know, the support we have gotten, even through, you know, we get some positive, some negative support on the movie because it is, you know, a Hollywood feature film. It's not Christian-based. But we have had a ton of support, and we're excited that people have really enjoyed the movie and, in turn, gone and picked up the book. And the support is mostly, I would say, is with the book because people's lives are very, you know, inspired, and people's lives have been changed, and, you know, people are challenged by what we went through, you know, challenged in their own marriage to make it right with their spouse and just to make it right within their family. So that's really exciting. And, you know, we both have although it's been represented differently in the movie, we both have very supportive parents. My parents are going to celebrate their 53rd wedding anniversary, and my husband will celebrate their 50th. So between both sets of our parents, and my husband's parents are alive, and both have been married faithfully. They have over 100 years of marriage. So we are supported by our parents. I have an older brother, and my husband has a twin brother and an older brother, and, you know, our siblings are very supportive of us. And even just the towns that we live in here in Farmington and back where the car accident happened in Las Vegas, New Mexico, the town was supportive just to get us through and to help us financially early on when, you know, we were up to our ears in debt. You know, it's just been amazing. I mean, people have really given, and it's fun to be in a position now where we're able to give back and invest in other people's lives.
Right, absolutely. Right now we are with Cricket Carpenter, whose story was based in the movie The Vow, as well as the amazing book this out as well. You know, Cricket, this wasn't only a love story in the movie. It wasn't only a box office hit, but if you watch it, you can really learn from it. You know, I'm sure you would be amazed by how many people could either relate to this or they took it and realized how short life really is, and it made them cherish every minute.
Oh, definitely. And even, you know, our book gets very deep where people can be challenged and inspired off of that. But even the movie, which is a feature film and, you know, made by Hollywood, we've had people, after seeing the movie, contact us. And even one of our security guards at the premiere was crying, talking to us and saying how when he went back to California, because we had a premiere here in our town, he was going to make it right with his wife. And so even though it's a feature film done by Hollywood, you know, God's Spirit has worked through that and really challenged and inspired people to do the right thing and, you know, to know that life is short.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, I wish I had the chance to speak with Kim, but I remember a statement that he made that when he was by your side, he made a vow before God and until death do you part. And Kim just seems like, your husband seems like such an amazing man. And, I mean, it really takes somebody strong-willed and somebody that loves someone that much to really stick by someone through the good and the bad.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, that was when we got married, that was the first time we had ever even lived in the same town. And we were only married 10 weeks when the car accident happened. And, wow. You know, but we both took our wedding vows very seriously. I mean, when you make a vow before God in good times and bad, sickness and health, I mean, that's what you're doing. You're making a vow. You're making a promise to God, and that's a promise to keep. And sometimes it's harder than you think it's going to be.
Right.
That's
right.
You
absolutely.
Have to be a person of your word.
Yeah. Well, I absolutely loved the film The Vow. And were you both allowed to be on set with Shannon Tatum and Rachel McAdams when it was being filmed?
We were actually both Kim and I and our children, who are the blessings of our vow, because we stuck to our vows. We have a son who just turned 12, and our daughter Leanne is 8, and they got to go with us. We went to Canada, and that's where they filmed the wedding scene. It was filmed in a museum in Canada, and we were there in the museum watching Rachel and Channing exchange our wedding vows. You know, they were written a little differently, but basically Rachel and Channing were representing us, and they had to do it in front of us, and we since found out that they were kind of nervous to do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is kind of funny. But we did get to, you know, see them and hang out with them a little bit, and they're just both wonderful people. They're fabulous and very loving and very kind, and, you know, we could talk about them forever because we love them to death.
Yeah, they definitely give off that vibe that they are that way. Do you have a favorite part of the movie that when you're watching it, you just said, wow, I love that part?
I think the part for me when Rachel is, you know, she was having a really hard time, and she said that she hopes that she can love him someday, you know, the way that he loves her. And when she was confused, and I think it might have been after the wedding part, that really, she captured what I was going through, I think, then. You know, just that, you know, I want to be able to love you, and I'm trying, and I hope I can love you as much as you love me someday. That scene, I think, captures my heart the most for
right.
me personally.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so were you, and I know we were talking about this a minute ago with what Hollywood did to the film. They made it Hollywood, I should say. Were you and Kim both pleased with what they did with the film? Is there anything either you would have liked to have seen different?
You know, we ended up, we had some things that we really, I mean, there's been several scripts, at least 5 or 6 that we've turned down over the past 16 years. And this was one of the final scripts, and they were going to go with it. And the language in this was going to be very bad, and it was going to be, it was rated R at one point. And I wrote a letter to all the higher-ups and just pleaded my case. And, you know, I substitute teach at the high school. I don't let my kids say shut up and stupid. So, you know, I don't, to be represented having different kind of language come out of my mouth was just too much for me. And thankfully, and I appreciate the fact that they did change the language and drop it down a level so it made it PG-13. And, you know, it is a feature film to appeal to the world. We ended up having a piece how the movie was being played out, although my husband and I never did divorce, and my parents are my best friends. So those two things were a little tough for me. But more so how my parents were represented was very hard for me to swallow, but that's what they wanted to go with because they wanted to add a little zip, I guess. So that was a harder thing for me. But, you know, you have to accept some things. There's nothing you can do. And we did finally get a piece about it, and we felt strongly that people would see the movie and then turn around and get the book. And that is what happened, because the book was number one on New York Times for a month straight.
Right. And you know, that's one thing I was going to mention as well. Can you hear me? I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, I'm so sorry about that. I told you before we started there may be some kind of hiccup or something.
that's okay.
And you know what? I cannot even remember where I was at. But let's move on. You know, this is a question out of our chat room, and someone wanted to ask you. People, you know, after years, 20 or 30 years they finally, you know, people that are blind, they finally regain their sight, or people that are people that are deaf finally regain their hearing. Have you ever been told that you may fully regain your memory? Is it ever possible?
Well, what the experts in the field know is that with head injuries, basically they give you about an 18 to 24 month time of period to remember the memory that is gone. And so, like, early on after the car accident, my husband was obsessed with me trying to remember what had happened. He would do things and try to spark my memory or take me back places and hope that something would click. And, right. You know, they say you have about 18 to 24 months. And, you know, it's been 18 years. But, you know, I don't expect the memory to come back. And to be quite honest, early on, my coping mechanism way of handling it was not to look back on what I lost, but just to accept where I was and to fix my eyes above and to look straight ahead and keep on going one day at a time. I didn't really look back and dwell on what was lost because it didn't get me anywhere. So
right.
According to the experts, the memory won't come back. I don't limit what the Lord can do, but, I mean, I have 18 years of new memories. So
right.
I don't even think about the old ones anymore.
One of my favorite parts in the movie was when one of Shannon Tatum's friends told him, he said, you know, any time in your life that you've messed up, you have, you know, she can't remember, and you have it to do all over again.
So. Oh, yeah. Oh, I think my husband tried to pull some over on me, too, but there was something. Well, my spirit and my soul are still the same, so there are some things that, you know, he couldn't pass off too easily.
Right. And my listeners are probably about to shake their head, but I remember what I wanted to ask you now.
Okay, perfect.
You mentioned about you didn't like how your parents were displayed in the movie, and I completely agree with you. I think it was maybe a little bit over the top, and correct me if I'm wrong, but how your parents were displayed towards Kim, how they didn't want him to try to pursue you or anything like that.
Right, and, you know, or like, and then the one part of the movie where it talks about, I mean, because, you know, he could leave, you know, in there.
Right.
There were times early on where I think it was a social worker that said, you know, if you leave, then the state will pick up all the medical bills. But, you know, that was it. And my husband was never going to leave. My parents adore my husband. I even made my husband ask my dad for my hand in marriage before we got married. And, you know, I mean, we have a fabulous relationship with my parents. They live in the town we live in now because they moved here because this is where we're at. And, you know, that was hard. I mean, they love my husband to death and just as he loves them. So, you know, that's unfortunate. But, you know, Hollywood does the thing. So I just had to kind of accept that and take a deep swallow.
Right. Well, I want to ask you two more questions, then I'm going to let you go. But the book The Vow can be found on bookshelves everywhere as well as Amazon.com. Knowing what you went through and how difficult all this was for you emotionally and physically, we touched on this earlier, I know, but what went into writing this book for both of you? How difficult was it for you to put everything you remembered on paper?
I think for my husband, it was probably more painful because he can remember everything. In fact, this past weekend, we just drove through the accident site. And, I mean, he can remember every single step of it along the way. So for him to actually put it down on paper was a little bit more difficult than it was for me because I have no memory of it.
Right.
I can only put what happened, you know, once I remember living again. So for him, it was extremely painful. But, you know, we wanted to share our book, you know, our story in book form to encourage people and hope that it would challenge them in whatever they're going through. And, you know, we don't have the worst situation out there nor the worst story. And I think it's important for people to realize, you know, when they're down in the trenches, to know that there's probably someone out there who's going through something even worse. I mean, I hear stories all the time, and I'm like, well, my goodness, I'm glad that is them and not me. You know, what I went through is nothing compared to what they're going through. So, I mean, you have to be thankful in all circumstances even.
Absolutely. And I encourage everyone to pick up this book, The Vow. It's on bookshelves everywhere, like I said, as well as Amazon.com. And you can now pick up the movie, The Vow, in stores nationwide. Cricket, it's such a pleasure you joining us. And before I let you go, please tell everyone what you're working on now, what's important to you and Kim, and how can people get in touch with you?
Okay, well, currently we speak at a lot of Christian conferences. We speak at eWomen conferences, and there's two in October, and you can just look at eWomen online. And at various churches we tend to speak at. In our own town, we are my husband runs the county here, and he's also very involved in baseball in, the American Amateur Baseball Congress, which we have here, and the CONMEC World Series, which is a large tournament held in our hometown every year. We do that, and we're very involved in the Christian radio station here, KNMI. So we do that, and, right now we're traveling around speaking, and you can contact us if you like the Vow book Facebook page. And there's also a Keeman Cricket Carpenter page. You can like that, and that's the one that I get on and update and, respond back to people when I have a spare minute or two to do so.
All right. Ms. Cricket Carpenter, thank you so much for joining us. It's such a real pleasure to have you on. And I want to ask you one thing real quick. Can you hold on for just a second right after this?
Sure.
And that'd be great. So we can speak just a second. But like I said, thank you so much, and it is such a true pleasure.
Well, thank you so much. God bless.
Thank you. And that was Cricket Carpenter. It was such a pleasure having her on. Please, like she said, look her up, Kim and Cricket Carpenter, on Facebook as well as the Vow Facebook page. Please enjoy this song, Shadow Days, by John Mayer.
But you find yourself alone, just like you found yourself before. Like I found myself in pieces on the hotel floor. Hard times have helped me see. I'm a good man with a good heart. Had a tough time, got a rough start. Doesn't mean I didn't make it hard to carry on. Well, it sucks to be honest, and it hurts to be real. But it's nice to make some love that I can finally feel. Hard times let me be. I'm a good man with a good heart. Had a tough time. Got a rough start, but I finally learned to let it go. Now I'm right here, and I'm right now, and I'm open, knowing somehow that my shadow plays a role. My shadow.
This you're listening to is Shadow Days by John Mayer. I want to take this time and thank everyone so much for coming on. It is such a pleasure. Thank you to 5RR.com. Please check them out. They have some great products. Thank you to Kim. Thank you to Mrs. Cricket Carpenter for joining us tonight. Please check out, please go buy her book today, The Vow. It is just an amazing book. Please check that out, as well as the movie The Vow. You'll not be sorry. I know you will love it. Thank you all so much. Please follow us on Twitter, @DrewBTR, and Facebook, WAEJ The Drew Show. If I didn't mention it a moment ago, please type Kim and Cricket Carpenter into Facebook. You can find them very easily, and type The Vow in as well. You can like that page as well. Thank you so much, everyone. Good night.